WCTC. Sorry about that, but I took a long-distance call from a friend of mine. So I had to be on the horn for a second just as the checkup started. I apologize. This is Gordon, WCTC, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. TechNet meets every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater, 146.955. The PL's access test repeater is 141.3, 141.3, otherwise known as code 4A. Purpose of the TechNet is to engage in a technical dialogue, a conversation, if you will, among radio amateurs. Subjects that you can bring up are amateur radio, electronics, electricity, telecommunications, computing, and anything in our society that depends on those things. Pretty much you can talk about anything you want if you just know how to spin it right. So, we check in a little differently here, but before we do, I want to encourage you to check in even if you don't have a question or a comment for the net, because your presence adds value to this net, because you might find yourself pinged with a question to you about somebody else's topic. And it's helpful to know that you're there as a resource, even if you think that you're not much of a resource. We think you're a resource. In fact, we know you're a resource. So with that in mind, let us begin. Call sign Susan, beginning with the letter Alpha, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
KB2XT, no comment, no question.
Okay, John, very good. Thank you very much. Stations whose call signs begin with Alpha, again, anybody else? Alrighty, let's go to the ever-popular and awesome line, Kilo 2s.
K2DSL, David. No hit, no errors, no runs.
That's 2 minutes in the penalty box for you. All right. Thank you, David. Any other Kilo 2s?
Is 2AMI, Tony. No questions, just a comment, perhaps, at all, about upcoming meetings.
Very good, Tony. We'll get you right after the first question. All right. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2DEN, no questions, no comments.
Been in Denver a long time, no speak. All right, very good. Any other Kilo 2s? The Kilo 2 again, please. I can't get you from down here. Did anybody else get that on the input? That Kilo 2, I will get back to you. I'm on a different radio right now, but I will get back to you. We'll try to figure out who you are. Any other Kilo 2s? Alrighty. Any other Kilos?
K-A-2-S-A-L. With a question.
Hey, Mike. Yay, Mike, with a question. You get 2 yays, Mike. Excellent. A left-handed yay and a right-handed yay. Wait. Yes, and my wife is accusing me of having rented lips. Yeah, first day with the new lips. I know that lip transplant was rough. All right. Anyway. Anybody else with a Kilo call?
K2ZO.
K2ZO, and your status, sir?
Just got in here. No questions and no comments at this time.
Thank you, sir. Alrighty. Any other Kilos? Alrighty. Let's see. Who else? Let's see. How about whiskey stations?
W2JEK. Don, no questions or comments.
You mean Don? Alright. Any other whiskeys?
Charlie with a question.
I mean, Charlie with a question. We have Mike with a question and Charlie with a question. Very good. And Tony with a comment. Anybody else with a whiskey call? Okay, let's do the Novembers. Any November calls, please call K2BR with your call sign. Your name and indicate whether you have a question or comment, both or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
NS2K, Jim, and I'll do a comment.
Okie dokie. Good evening, James, with your comment. Very good. Any other Novembers? And anybody late into the net wants to just get down and get funky, you know, do the Lawrence Welk thing. K2BAR. Brady, well, I'll tell you what. Let's get to Tony's comment, since we probably have a lot, and then we'll go to Mike and then Charlie's questions and then Jim's comment. Or maybe we'll enter first, and we'll do one and the other. Do comment, question, comment, question, comment, question. We'll start with that. So, with that in mind, K2AMI, your comment, sir. K2BAR.
Hey, good evening, TechNet and the group. This is K2AMI. And only comment is a reminder that this coming Sunday is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association monthly meeting held now at the Municipal Building in Washington Township at the Senior Citizens facility there. A very large room, plenty of space for everybody. Good camaraderie with table accommodations as well as row accommodations. And we're going to have a program that people who are erect antennas, and perhaps K2ZO would like to describe that when he has a chance, but he's the program for the week. And if we could just regress a bit to indicate that this coming Friday night is the Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club monthly meeting. So we have two meetings coming up Friday night and Sunday night. And of course, don't forget to turn your clocks back full, the clocks full back in early on Sunday morning. Back to net.
Very good. Jimmy, did you want to add anything on the subject? Did you want to add anything? That is a no. Should be very exciting, though. Jim talks are always very good. Some of us will be very, very tired, but we will be there. Alrighty, who's next on the docket? It would be our good buddy, K2FBL. Your question, Mike. K2BAR.
Hi, Gordon, and everyone on the net. Some of you may know that we have a new club in Yonkers. We're putting together a station at the Yonkers PAL. It's come along real nice, actually. This building was National Guard Armory, and we're on the first floor as soon as you walk in. Looking to put 2-meter 440 and the G5RV off the tower at the top. And kind of curious in people's responses regarding either LMR 400 UltraFlex stranded or the BerryFlex. And it's up in the air. We're leaning more towards the BerryFlex because of how it's going to be held on. But you could look online at yonkerspal.org and see what the building looks like. And give it back to you, Gordon.
So the question is, LMR 400 UltraFlex versus BerryFlex. You're bound and determined to use BerryFlex at all?
No, we're kind of just asking, looking at the LMR 400, and then you saw the BerryFlex at the Rimark handset, and it intrigued us, and we were kind of wondering the difference, if anyone has used between the two, which one would be better. It's a tough situation for putting up coax where we're going, and we really don't want to see it not make the winter, enough money, a year. Later on, when we put the beam up, it'll be on the lower roof, not up on the tower, but we want to be able to put up the G5RV from the tower and actually put up the 2-meter 440 on the tower, because we're kind of low. We're only at about 65, 70 feet above sea level. The most I was still. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay. Well, really it comes down to loss and you need flexibility. What you really want is a good quality coax, period. Both are really good. You're not burying this stuff, so I don't really think it's a big deal over that. The Ultraflex is nice as long as you're going to have a rotator, but even then you have to need, I would have four, maybe even six turns of coax around the rotator loop and have it supported in some reasonable way so that there's not a lot of stress on the cable so that you're not cracking it. But you can LMR 400 Ultraflex around the rotator or from the feed point of the antenna down below the rotator is probably a good idea. No big deal. And then you can use whatever you want down there. In fact, you can use conventional LMR 400 at that point. That would be my suggestion. How many feet are you running from the antenna to the ham shack?
The rotator would be probably put up a beam. What we're running right now is a G5RV and a 2-meter 440 vertical, which we think we haven't actually been on the roof, and you've seen what I look like, so I'm not going on the roof. But we think that it might be about 150 feet. But if you look on the picture, on the right side of the entrance, there are three windows. The second window in, I believe, is the one that's going to be going into on the first floor. So we have to go down from where the chimney is basically in the tower. We're going to go down the side, and I don't know how we're going to get down the side, but we're going to go down the side to the main roof and then come over and down again. So it's kind of an interesting situation that we have.
How about you use LMR 400 up to the roof and make a junction box that's shielded, meaning shielded against the weather. And from there, use junctions to go to the various antennas and use Ultraflex from there. That's what I would do under the circumstances you're in. Okay, unless I could have 7-8 heliacs going up to that junction box and then more flexible after that. That's kind of where my head's at. Anybody else have a thought on this for Mike? Okie dokie. Well, here's my answer. Any follow-on comments, Mike?
Not really. I'm one of those people that it's kind of hard for me to get up there and actually look. From where I have to see, I have to be street level because I can't climb. I can't get up there. So just by the picture, it's like a very difficult installation, and that's the reason why I'm going to see what the most flexible would be. But you're saying the LMR 400 would be better off, the Ultraflex would be better off than the Veriflex, and I'm going to probably lean in that direction.
LMR 400 has lower loss than the Flex, and Veriflex is very expensive. Not a whole lot of difference in performance. I can't remember what it does, but it's not something to write home about. So I would think in those terms. And then, the other thing I would think about is someone's got some LDF 450, 7-8 heliacs, run that up. As I said, run pigtails from there. I mean, maybe get some surplus runs of LDF 450. I'm going to go from the ham shack to a junction point on the roof. And then, as I say, run flexible stuff there. But if you can't, run LMR 400 and then flexible stuff wherever you need to go after that. If you have to find antennas that are never going to move, You might want to run LMR-400 right to the antenna itself. I will say this, buying 1,000 feet of LMR-400 is cheaper than or even a 500 foot roll, than putting your own connectors on is a ton cheaper than buying pre-wired assemblies. So, do keep that in mind as well. Let's see. What else can I tell you? I guess that's about it for now. But dirty little secret is I actually run LMR-400 without even the flex on my rotators. I have 4 or 6 loops around the rotator to keep it from screwing up, and it's fine. I have no junctions at all. It works great. But that's just me. Let's see what else. I guess that's it.
Okay, well, I appreciate the advice. We're actually thinking about going 1,000 feet from the beginning. The two antennas are just a start. We have an ambitious goal of 8 stations. By Tuesday, we should have 5 call fronts. Where we go from there. But right now, we're setting up the 357GX and Mike and Carol radio and take the 7800 and put that in there. So we'll have enough to start. Kids will learn. It'll be fun. We'll all have fun.
Excellent. Very excellent. All right. So, the next thing is, our next item is another comment. The comment was from, the first one was Tony, the second one was Jim, Mr. NS2K. You had a comment, I believe. Go right ahead, Mr. Jim. K2BAR.
K2BAR, NS2K. Yeah, actually, my comment, there are a couple things, I suppose. The first one is from an email that Jim sent out, Jim Joyce, about WA2XMN, who is doing another commemorative broadcast on next Saturday, November 6th at noon, on 42.8 megahertz, wide FM. Now, receiving that's going to be a little bit of a trick. but I found the last time they did this, I was able to do it on my 706 without any trouble, probably 7,000, that's just fine as well. But it's from the Armstrong Tower, and it's a recreation of one of Armstrong's transmitters from the old Yankee Network, the first commercial FM system before Sarnoff changed the rules and essentially put him out of business. Anyway, should be a very interesting thing. Saturday noon, 42.8 megahertz, wide FM.
42.8?
That's the one.
Yeah, my, I think my Pro 3 will go there, I think the Pro 2 will go there, and the 746 Pro will go there. It's a wideband in my 46 Pro. So it transmits right up to 60-odd megahertz. It's pretty amazing, actually. Okay, very cool. 42.8. Well, I will be en route to the Army Air Force game up at West Point on Saturday in the morning. What time are they starting to transmit? Do we know? Noon, did you say?
Yeah, it starts up at noontime, according to this website. And they have had QSL reports from, 100 miles away. They're only running, on this one? Let me think. How much power are they running? It's not a whole lot of power, but of course they have pretty good elevation.
I've heard that. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, that's excellent. Anybody have any comments or questions for Jim about this? This is excellent.
W2TT, KC2OR, I'm just checking in, Gordon.
Mr. Robert, welcome aboard. Anybody else?
K2SCO.
Got your mic, hold one second. Do we have somebody on Echolink? I thought I heard the Echolink first. K2BAR. Go ahead, Mike.
Regarding the Armstrong recreation for a point of order kind of situation, we're making the PAL station into a kind of Armstrong, Randy Runyon commemorative kind of a station for the kids to learn, because Armstrong lived right up the road from where the PAL is, and Randy Runyon, who did the first broadcast down to Armstrong from Yonkers, is right up the road also. So we've been doing a lot of research on it, and we're trying to throw that in so that the kids learn a little bit of history from radio. Thank you, Gordon.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. By the way, Jim made a comment that Armstrong was going strong until David Sarnoff put him out of business. And at least in the United States, David Sarnoff put somebody else out of business. That would be Guglielmo Marconi, amazingly enough. He argued that you can't have a foreign national running your radio stations. So, of course, as a former employee of Marconi, ended up in charge of much of what he had started, or put himself in the catbird seat to run whatever part of it he wanted to play in. God knows he did. All right. Anybody have any comments for Mike about Major Armstrong, et cetera?
And that's okay.
Go ahead.
Of course, Armstrong was a pretty amazing and creative and inventive person. He started off by one of his major contributions was the super regenerative receiver, which he did, I think, before World War One, and later on invented the super super heterodyne receiver. Quite a few years later, the super heterodyne, virtually every receiver except perhaps some of the computer-based DSP receivers are super heterodyne. Virtually all of them are nowadays. And a few years later, Sarnoff attempted to get him to improve AM. He tried very hard to improve AM, and he just couldn't get over the noise issue. So he invented FM, and really, really annoyed Sarnoff. Anyway, it was a side thing. Anyway, yet a third very major contribution to the radio art, NS2K.
Yes, unfortunately, he was a manic depressive who was annoyed as hell at people like Sarnoff, and he face-planted himself on Park Avenue from some number of stories up. That's the tragedy of him. You see, there's two people I admire who have had that tragedy in their life. One was Major Armstrong, and the other one, oddly enough, was Douglas MacArthur, whose son face-planted, if I remember right. But anyway. And there's a beautiful, beautiful, one-page essay from a father to a son, written by MacArthur, by the way. If you know the backstory of it, it's just that you're not sure you want to read it. But in any case, it's a beautiful thing if you ever get a chance to read it. In any case, we digress. So we have the super probably the super regenerative receiver, we have the super heterodyne receiver, and of course the ever popular FM mode. Jim, one major element of the super heterodyne receiver that's still in play, even in a DSP mode, is the whatever mixer stages you have up in front. You don't have the detector part, but that's done through digital signal processing techniques, but even then, well, they're not done on circuitry, it's done there, but the front-end mixing exercise is still part of that design.
Oh, of course, yeah, but the only difference being the way there's no IF, as it were, is the only real big difference. But again, yeah, all the original parts of the system are pretty much identical.
And the front end mixer IF output that's fed into the DSP, that part is still maintained in circuitry. Very good. Anybody else have any comments?
72 JEK. Lead on, go ahead.
You know, I think one thing that before the super regenerative receiver, there was the regenerative receiver, which did not have that quenching frequency superimposed in there. As the super regenerative receiver was made was for an AM signal or wideband FM, but the original regenerative receiver is what I think the first thing that Armstrong came up with. Where it's just a simple feedback of the control feedback of from the plate to the grid using a tick recoil or whatever means. And one thing about that that's important too is to realize that that was the first time we were actually getting oscillation with the tube, and thus we created an oscillator, which created a radio frequency that was not made by a spark gap anymore. It was made, or an Alexanderson alternator, was made by a oscillating vacuum tube, or a CW signal, I guess, is what you would call it from there. But he really did a lot in that respect, too, when you think about it. And the only other type of receiver we have around now sometimes are these so-called direct conversion receivers, where the vocal oscillator is loaded with the audio range of the received frequency, and then it comes out with an audio frequency. But those are I have a few of them, but I prefer the super hatch. Back to that, W2JK.
Very good, you're right. It was the search for the improved receiver to replace the coherer and other things that were suggested that led us to knowing how to build a non-spark transmitter. You would have thought that the transmitter would come first and they would have designed the receiver based on the technology from the transmitter, but in point of fact, it was the other way around. As you say, because of the feedback element, tickler coil, etc. Very good. Anybody else? Brady. Very good. I believe we have another question from our good friend, Mr. Charlie, WE2R. Okay, Charlie, keep to the air.
Thank you, Gordon. This is WE2R. Nice feeling about Armstrong, and you know, that tower is very imposing, a nice landmark for radio people. Question, I am talking on a Yaesu 5470, which is about 20 years old, I think, time flies. And I resurrected it the other day. I don't think it's been turned on for more than 5 years. Applied some power and it worked, and the memories are intact, which surprised me. How long can I expect that internal memory battery to last? I was surprised that it lasted this long. Back to that WE2R.
I don't know. is the 470 the ASU 2-meter handy talkie with the red LEDs?
I'm not sure what you mean. The LED indicator switches to red when you transmit.
I'm not sure about the numeric display.
Oh, no. It's a regular digital display.
It was not. Well, I honestly don't know. Did anyone go up on EHAM? Or could someone go up on EHAM and take a quick look? Get a rough idea as to what the design issues are with this puppy?
I suppose I can do that. It's not really that urgent. I just thought somebody might know.
So it's got an LED type display? LCD, I'm sorry, LCD?
Yes.
Well, if you haven't powered it up in 5 years, it's still holding, that's good. And this is a HT, right? Or is this a mobile rig?
It's an HT.
Thought so. It might be relatively indefinite, but if you haven't powered it up in 5 years, that bodes well, especially for a 20-year-old radio.
Okay, well, you know, it's sort of like, not exactly freebie, because we paid for it at the time, but it's something I never expected to use. And you know, I thought, well, why not? Now I have an extra HD. Okay, well, very good. Thanks, Gord. WE2R.
Well, tell us a little bit how you're powering it, and are you using an external microphone?
Yeah, speaker mic, and I'm running it off a 12-volt supply. The batteries are long ago gave up the ghost.
Is that a radio that will take 12 volts directly?
Yes, and it is.
Itself is worth its weight in gold. I would be very curious as to the answer to the question of battery. In fact, you might want to just Google FT470 internal battery or backup battery. Try those kinds of phrases. Or something like that. See what you can get. Very good. That's excellent. Anybody else? I'm going to have to test the echo link at some point. I'm hearing it burp, but clearly there's nobody on it. Alrighty. Any other questions or comments from the net?
That's Duque.
Duque, go.
So just stumbling around this website, I'm surprised to see the Regen receiver he invented in 1912, the Super Heterodyne in 1918, and then came the Super Regenerative receiver in 1922. So Super Heterodyne was invented before Super Regen, and then FM he did in 1933. Pretty amazing.
That's pretty good. Just I'm trying to remember. I seem to recall that my mother may have tripped over him on Park Avenue when she was a girl. But he died in the late 40s or early 50s?
He died in 54.
Oh, crazy. Okay. Yeah, I think my mother told me about stories of tripping over him and his wife and such like that. Walking up and down Park Avenue. A very pleasant, dignified man, according to my mother. I'll go verify that. But, very cool. Very cool. So, the order of invention is a little different than we expected as well. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the website I'm looking at is, no W's, users.erols.com, E-R-O-L-S. .com/oldradio. Old radio, one word.
Users, F-U-S-E-R-S, .erols.com/oldradio.
User as in person, user, U-S-E-R-S, U-S-E-R-S, .erols.com.
/oldradio.
That's correct.
Pretty cool. I'll go look at that. Anybody? anybody else of comment for Jim?
Who am I with the previous comment?
Two people. AMI first.
Just recently had a failure in my lithium batteries in my TS940. The radio must be at least 20, 22 years old. It's the first time that I've changed the 2032 type lithium batteries in it. I'm amazed that they lasted that long. So I don't know what type of batteries are in that little radio that I can't even think of. So talking about, but if they're lithium batteries, as you can see, they last a very long time. So nobody else has got any stories about length of time on lithium batteries.
I have a, an old TM201 that needed a, and then a TM211 that needed new batteries. And then somewhere along the line, I think a 741 or a 721, 721 and 621 needed new batteries. But I have others that are older in that same genre of Kenwood radios, but their batteries are fine. So it just kind of depends on, you know, the battery and how, and the circumstances of the radio's disposition over the years that have contributed to the status of the battery.
KC2SQP disconnected. N2RCP disconnected.
KC2SQP, that's Stuart. RCP, I don't know who that is, N2RCP. Alright. Well, for some reason, Stuart was here but couldn't check in. N2RCP was as well. Alrighty, anybody else? Okay, another thing going on this weekend, by the way, is the New York City Marathon. That should be fun. I'm going to finally be in a borough I've never been in for the marathon, as far as a stable post, and that is I'll be at Mile 7 in Brooklyn. Should be lovely. Anyway. Anybody have any advice about over that?
Dress warm.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not only dressing warm, but I will have a McDonald's a block away and a warm vehicle to be in if I need to.
What street in Brooklyn is that?
Fourth Avenue, but I'm not sure what the cross street is.
George, don't forget to set your clocks back.
Calm down. This is WE2R.
That's right. An extra hour of sleep as we roll out the door at ODAR 30. I think I'm meeting, my son James and I are meeting, Ed Missouri Joe Peters. Some ridiculous hour of the morning. We're going to have a good time. Our assigned frequencies are on 2 meters, which is kind of nice. But if you scan the repeaters in New York on 2 meters and 440, you'll hear stuff.
And I'm going down to McGuire Air Force Base on Saturday, W2CCC.
Air show down there?
Go down to Civil Air Patrol. We're going to get a tour of the combined base, McGuire, Fort Dix, and whatever else is hidden down there.
That sounds great. Well, I'll be up at West Point on Saturday watching Air Force get their ass kicked. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Yeah, I did. Go Navy, beat Army. Everybody beats Air Force. That's the way it's got to be. Anyway. Anybody else with comments or questions for the net?
KC2R, so I'm going to clear with you, Gordon. I'm home, so I'm going to clear with you guys. Have a good weekend. Pray that the football game goes in your favor. And Jim, have a good day at the marathon on Sunday. Say hello to my friends that are there, if you know who I mean. And enjoy the weekend, gentlemen. I'll be clear. The Alpine repeater, KC2ORX, is out.
Very good, Robert. Take care. Anybody else with a question or comment for the net? Just a a reminder that Bob will be collecting money for the Barra dinner, which will replace our December meeting, and which will be at Maggiano's, if I remember right, in early December. I don't remember which Sunday, but some early Sunday in September. In December, pardon me. So, anyway, do keep that in mind. I think it's $25 for the meal. Every member of the club can bring one additional guest at the same $25 rate because it's heavily subsidized. Oh, yes, it is. Anyway, anybody else have anything for the net?
December 7th.
Oh, thank you, December 7th. Thank you, Rachel. I'll check you in. Do you have any other further comments, Rachel?
The only other comment was the button batteries can last up to 10 years. You can see that in some of the computers. They use them in the motherboard.
So what we're comparing notes on is some of us have had them well in excess of 20. And that's kind of neat. Somebody else was in there, too. Who else made a comment?
I'm W2JEK. Just a reminder that our next... Barra's next test session will be on Friday, November the 19th at 7 o'clock at the high school.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very, very good. And for those who are interested, I'm running a test session. Well, not a test session. We're running a general class on the Tuesday after Christmas and a technician and an extra class on the Wednesday after Christmas, and the test session is that night, the Wednesday after Christmas, in Bergenfield. See me for details. And, let's see, anybody else? Alrighty, everybody. I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. It's a nice net, a little short, but very interesting nonetheless. And, first time I've operated the net, well, actually, it's the second time I've operated the net from Nancy station, so I'm actually using her setup downstairs here, and got to finish my dinner and be semi-social. Nancy liked the comment too. I like the commentary of the net. So, this is K2BAR, signing clear, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater. This is W2TTT, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use.